Doors may be closed any day. Communism is a religion, regardless of what they may say about it. You cannot destroy communism with bombs and guns and soldiers. Our military might can only deter their power until we have used the opportunity it gives us to preach the gospel. The only thing that will turn back communism is a better idea, a better religion. We have that in Christianity. God help us if we don't use it to its fullest. Ambassador MacArthur in Japan told Dr. Ramsey Pollard, he said, if Japan goes to communism, the United States will not last over 20 years. Now, there was not a preacher, a politician talking, a diplomat talking. 20 years. The front line of battle today against communism is in Asia. It may soon be in South America, but right now it's in Asia. And you and I have the only weapon that can turn it back and destroy it. We are living in perhaps the most crucial decade in the history of this world since Jesus walked this earth. Not long ago, I heard Congressman Walter Judd speak. He's spoken to you. Every one of you knows him as a physician, now a congressman, but formerly a missionary to China. He knows the mission fields. He knows communism. He lived with it. He spoke to the men's dinner club in our city not long ago, and his subject was, "And now comes the crisis." For 1 hour, he talked to us about communism, what it is, what it believes, how it works, what its goals are. And then for the last 15 minutes, he talked to us something like this. He said, "I am a physician. And every physician here in this meeting knows that with certain kinds of diseases, there comes a time called the crisis, during which the physician must be at his best. For during that crisis, either the disease will break through and kill the patient, or it will fail to break through, will recede and die." Said he, "Communism is such a disease. There is no place in communism for peaceful coexistence." Said he, "It must either win or it will die." And he said, "Within the next 10 years, in my judgment, communism will either take this world or it will fail to take it and recede and die." Can you and I be complacent in a time like that? Can a business as usual policy in missions, in missionary prayer, in missionary giving, can it suffice? Wherever you go on the mission fields, they'll point to new buildings. It got to be a game with us. We'd say, point to a new building. Down in Tajon, Korea, that beautiful red brick seminary building up on a hill overlooking the entire city, a landmark. We'd point to it, they'd sort of smile and say, "Yes, Lottie Moon." We'd point to missionary homes, to churches, to colleges, "Yes, Lottie Moon." But without exception, every one of them would say, "Oh, we couldn't advance without Lottie Moon. The Lottie Moon offering and week of prayer, we couldn't advance without that." But then they would say just as quickly, "But don't forget the cooperative program, because that's our lifeline." We would thank God for the Lottie Moon offering and week of prayer. But we would also pray that God would lay upon our hearts to give through the cooperative program as we've never done before. I'm not saying that we ought to have either or, we should have both and just a lot more of both. I'm going to rid myself of an obligation right now. In 1955, a group of us stood in Beirut, Lebanon, and looked and saw the church building under construction right alongside our school. In 1959, it was my privilege to preach in that church one Sunday morning. And after the service, we went to the door. The pastor shook my hand, a native pastor. He said, "When you get home, if you get the opportunity, tell the women of Women's Missionary Union how much we thank them for our beautiful, lovely building." Wonderful. But I believe we've come to a time when we're going to have to sacrifice more than we've ever sacrificed. Not just the ladies, bless their hearts, thank God for you, but all of us. Because not only are we in a fight for our lives and our liberty, but for the souls of men, and who knows, for the right to preach the gospel in our lifetime. One day in Japan, in Tokyo, we were taken to the press club for a press conference. After it was over, they showed us about their building, and finally we arrived in the library. I asked the little Japanese librarian, "Do you have any newspapers of yours that were published during the war?" I wanted to see how they reported the war as against our way. She said, "No, I'm sorry, we don't have any papers left. You see, they were all destroyed in the bombing. Japan, Tokyo was 90% destroyed. Downtown almost 100%. She said, that was all destroyed. But she said, "I believe I do have a copy of a paper that was put out the day after the surrender was announced." Soon she came and brought it to me. It was just a sheet. But on the front of it was a picture of the Imperial Palace grounds. And then a story how that on the day after the emperor announced the surrender, the gates to the Imperial Palace were flung open and the people were allowed to come into the palace grounds. They came by the hundreds of thousands. They came wringing their hands, weeping and wailing. They fell on their knees and bowed their faces to the ground as they faced the emperor's palace. They cried out, begging their emperor, their God, to forgive them because they had failed him. Oh, dear friends, may we fall upon our faces and beg our God's forgiveness because we've failed him. And then let us go out and truly take the keys of the kingdom. Open the doors to the kingdom of heaven for the multiplied millions of people on this earth who never have heard of our great, wonderful Savior. In so doing, we shall fulfill our destiny.